Okay, so we're turning our attention now to several topics that come up on Daf Lamed Tes and Daf Lamed Tes and Beis. We'll just address each of them, hopefully somewhat briefly, and then we'll move to the next topic of Kotrons Miyad. The three topics that come up here that I wanted to discuss were, number one, the scope of the din that the Gemara here says introduces us to in terms of the Sidre Shuas Hadayanim, that the decision to make the Shuas is made, we tell them these Divregim, Kol Olam Kulon is Dazeh Vashrasha Amar Gatrach with Sinai, etc. I did this was uniquely Chamor, that it has unique consequences in terms of violation of the Aveir of Shuas, Shav, or Sheker. And we'll discuss the content of it next. That's the first issue. We just want to discuss the scope of that din. The Rambam has something interesting to say about that. Then we'll discuss, as I have here on the sheets, the Chumras Shua Sheker Bashav, which relates to the content of the Iyum, just to sort of give an overview of the Chumra, discuss a little bit, in particular the one that we haven't yet discussed, which is its severity in terms of what's required for Kapara. Then we'll discuss a little bit, why is it so Chumra? And then the final thing we'll discuss of these three topics is just the issue of Malamed Shashua Chalal Shnei, this line where the Gemara seems to say that the Shvua is potentially upon both of them in some sense, in some more direct sense, in immediate sense, than it is upon everybody else. What's that referring to? Okay. So, just as far as the first point is concerned, the scope of this din that Beis Din is mindful of. So if you read the Gemara, you think, okay, this is how you do it, whenever you have such a Shvua and Beis Din. But the Rambam, however, says otherwise. The Rambam says that this halacha, that omrim lo b'ziyumim, so this is actually limited. It's not applicable to all shuas b'bezin. It's not even applicable to all shuas of the ayin. For the Rambam, that language is meduyak, because the Rambam held that shuas heses is not actually nikra shuas of the ayin. But the Rambam doesn't even limit the application of this halacha just to exclude it. Shuas heses, it's also others. And the Rambam says that it's already implicit in the first one, right? Kol mi sheyischayv shvuas adayan shi ayde tanis vader kuir ben shayis amadu kula kula. I'm in love, as I'm about to tell you. Kids ma'ayim alanish va omer in love, etc., etc. It's the exception to the exclusion of kol mi sheyischayv ba b'tanis safik, as well as shvuas hesis. Yeah. So, the question is obviously why. Meaning, there's good reason to think that this should be required whenever we have a shua sheker, right? Whenever we have a shua. Especially if we assume that what we're trying to do is prevent the possibility of having a shua sheker, of having all these terrible consequences. We want people to be aware of what's going to happen in the event that they take a shua sheker. So as we stand on the precipice of somebody taking a shua, it's licit, what we're required to do is to tell them that. So why should this not apply when you have somebody who's taking a genuine shvua? Why wouldn't we have such a human? Note that this, you could have said very easily, at least for shvuas heses, that if you held, like, let's say, we're in your geruchim, that shvuas heses is actually not really a shvua, so that would be a good reason to think that this din doesn't apply. But the Rambam, as you said, first of all, doesn't just exclude shvuas heses, he also excludes shvuas b'tanis safek, right? All the shvuas notin that the Mishnah refers to in the next parak, cases where this is similar to Shuas Hashomer. I don't imagine the Ram. I believe it's pretty clear that the Ram thinks that the Shuas Hashomer, which is a Shuah of Tana Safik, because the Shomer, the Mafki, doesn't know whether or not the guy's Tayev. That's not excluded here. I assume he only means the Shuas Derabanan of Tana Safik, the Shuas Hashutzen, Barisin, where the person who's claiming the money actually doesn't claim to know that it's owed to him. Nonetheless, there's a shvua, that's the din derabanan of shvuas b'tanis safek. Anybody who's in that relationship where you have a sakir or an aris, So the Chazal simply were mitakin that they must take a shvua. Those are the shvuas for times of it. But says the Rambam, in those cases, you don't need that. Despite the fact that you don't need the imam, despite the fact that there is certainly a shvua. Moreover, the Rambam regarding shvuas essays does not agree with the Rabbi Nerucham. He doesn't think it's called the shvuas of the anim, but he clearly does require the full. It is understood to be a full shvua. He has shame and he has lashon shvua. So this is essentially the question that Nosi Kalim of the Rambam ponder. Why is it that this is the case? And here I think we can consider two options, two suggestions. Number one, perhaps we might say that the concern for shua sheker only requires us to actually be ma'ayim when there's grounds to really think that this might be a shua sheker. When we might be nervous, that in fact this guy might be saying sheker. But if we have no grounds to suspect that what he's about to take a shua to is sheker, so there's simply no reason to be concerned about it, and therefore we don't say yumin. And the Rambam would tell you right on this that on this understanding, what the Rambam is saying is these grounds don't exist in two cases. Number one, shvuas essays, and number two, shvuas matana suffik. Shvuas essays, as we've discussed, is essentially no evidence, right? The only thing that we really have usually in these cases is simply the guy's word that he's owed money. But there's no other evidence that would give us grounds to suspect that might be the case. And in fact, as we discussed, it's quite possible to understand, and we'll come back to some of the shvuas essays, that the nature of the shvuah is quite different. It's not really a chiyuv shvuah, it's more of a chiyuv pius b'shvuah. Right? Your mechayev, what we're saying is, okay, so let's throw the guy a bone. So say something to him, acknowledge him, ayde shvuah. But as far as we're concerned, we don't need any real reason to suspect that what you're saying is shekhar, that what the nitva is saying isn't true, and therefore we wouldn't have occasion to say these yumim. We've noted that was a possible explanation of the Rambam regarding the din of Nikitas Chavetz. In fact, you don't need Nikitas Chavetz for shvuas essays. We suggested that an explanation could be that we're not really misupok. In that context, the idea was, and therefore we don't need the namanus that would be provided by Nikitas Chavetz. Here what we're saying is we're not really misupok, and therefore we don't feel the need to be ma'aymalav. Why would we think this person is taking a shvuas sheker? Because the other guy's a tainer? It's not enough to give us grounds to suspect. The bigger chiddush here would be that the Rambam would be saying this about the cases of tainus safek. You understand that on the one hand, very easily, tainus safek, we don't know that somebody's lying. Right? Meaning in most other cases, save for shvuas hesis, where we really don't have any reason to suspect that the guy who's the nitva isn't telling the truth, in all other cases where there's evidence, you might say, of some sort on both sides, there's grounds to suspect on both sides, but we could argue that part of what causes us the gives us ground to suspect is, well, one of them is lying, right? And if one of them is lying, and one of them is going to take a shvuah, we want to make sure that he's not the one lying. If he's going to take a shvuah, he better be the one telling the truth. But in the case of shvuah b'tana safek, there's no need to assume that somebody's lying, and what that in part tells us is there's no need to assume that the nishba is lying. And therefore, again, we don't have grounds to be ma'ayin. The reason this is a chiddush is even though we don't have any ground, we don't know that somebody's lying, but there is grounds to suspect that maybe, well, as we'll see when we get to the sugya, maybe there's a reason to think that maybe the guy is in fact chai mamon. That's in part what gave the impetus for the takana to be required. Which was there as an example. Sakhir maybe is tarbe pala. I'm sorry, the arisim. There are reasons that we might have required a shua from them precisely because we thought that these situations can create, they themselves, just by their sociological or innate context, they themselves give grounds to reason for us to require shua. So it's true that we don't know that somebody's lying, but at the same time, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have no reason to suspect that this isn't that what he's saying isn't true. Particularly the nishba. But nonetheless, that's what I think you would say for the Rambam on this view is that in both of these cases, we don't really suspect that the person's lying. Again, in the first case, because shvuas hesed is because there's no real evidence against him. In the second case, because whether or not there's evidence against him, nobody's really claiming that nobody who knows says that he's wrong, says that it isn't true. The other guy is basically claiming, saying, I want a shvua because maybe it isn't true, but nobody's actually telling us what he says is false, and therefore, so long as we don't have actual contradictory claims in Beis Din, we're not going to assume that what this guy is saying isn't true. Nobody's contradicting it. And therefore, we won't have grounds to be concerned for shvua shekher, yeah.
What's the harm in doing Iyum regardless? I mean, the Rambam says, you know, you should talk to them, and even if it's no grounds for Iyum, you should talk to them.
Correct.
And
so, correct.
What's the grounds? What's the harm of having an official? You know,
I don't know that there's a harm.
High level Iyum.
I don't know there's a harm, but the Rambam just says it's not required. Doesn't mean there's a harm.
So why does the Rambam say to talk to them? Why not say, you know, and if you want to, you could do an official psukim based Iyum as well.
I don't know that wouldn't be okay. I mean, he says Alpha Bisha Im Mizah, I understood that to mean that there's no chiyuv to do so. But when he says Srifan Adayanin Lifsor Bavalidin Ulayasur Behan Anshalotiya Sham Shvu Klal, I don't know that means that he can't, that one of the ways you can be Mafsir Bo is that say these things. And I imagine that it probably would be. We'd probably tell him, listen, we're not trying to tell you this. We're not trying to tell you this, but you should just know. I mean, as far as I know, that's probably a very good way to be master of love. And that's what I thought. Understood the Rambam saying. There's no need to do any of this for these people, but nonetheless, we want to try to, nonetheless, you know, scare them away from it. If you understand it this way, then I think that makes sense. I don't think there's any harm. The point is that it just isn't a din which is, you know, absolutely required the way it is for other shuls. That's what I was thinking. I think the alternative explanation of why this is limited to why this doesn't apply to these two cases is similar to what we've said regarding the Iyum of Nikitas Chepetz, which I just mentioned, which is to understand the function of the Iyumim here, of the Din Iyum, right? As opposed to the Haftar, this is what I'll come back to in a second, the function of the actual Amiros Divrei Iyumim that the Gemara discusses here from the Sefta, the function of it is actually not here too. It's not to simply prevent a shvua sheker. It's really to provide the degree of nehemanus to the shvua. When he's willing to take a shvua despite what we told him, then we have evidence. Then it counts as evidence. Then it counts as having credibility. And what we would argue is that isn't always necessary, right? For shvua's hesed is just. Right. This is again the same. It's not that we have no grounds to suspect it might be sheker. But the point is, we don't really need a shvua to be mivayer. It could be related, but it's a different point. We don't need the shvua to be mivayer because we don't have suffix. So therefore, in the case of shvua essays, what we'll say is, listen, yeah, take a shvua. It's true that you haven't done so despite our grilling and despite our putting the fear of God into you. You know, with these divrei yumim. And therefore, you might say that the shvua, on some level, doesn't provide us the kind of nemanus that it does if you did have. But that nemanus really just isn't necessary, right? We don't need the shvua to do that here. It doesn't need to be that you're willing to take it, despite your clear, immediate, present understanding of just how consequential it is. None of that's necessary for this. Just give us a stam shvua; it's good enough. And again, the chiddush would still be even more so. For time of suffix, that the same thing would be true. That gets into discussion of those shvuas. But for now, we'll just leave it at that. That the implication would be that shvuas time of suffix as well. The function of the shvuas is not really as a biru. Note that the chiddush here in the second approach is that the Rambam does require nikitas chevetz for shvuas time of suffix. Right? I mean, with hesedes. This would be consistent with what we find regarding Nikitas Chevetz, the Iyum of Nikitas Chevetz, assuming the Rambam held that it was beginning Iyum, which is, we don't need these Iyumim in as much as their function is to create the Ne'manus, that a person who's willing to take a Shavua despite them, is it willing to do so, means that really what he's saying must be true, or at least he believes it to be true. We don't need that for Shavua Sese, so that's consistent with Nikitas Chevetz, and now we would say it's into with Iyumim. The trouble is a little bit is that in the case of Shavuos B'tanah Safek, right, if both of these dinim relate to this point, so it is noteworthy that the Rambam requires Nikitas Chevetz for Shavuos B'tanah Safek. And yet he doesn't for the human. it's not impossible. You could say there are degrees, right? There are degrees of just how credible we needed, you know, just how much we need that namanus, or how credible it has to be. We, you know, it isn't necessary for us to speak to you in the way that the Gemara here refers, right? That to tell you just, you know, in front of you men, you know, that it's potentially something which would, you know, literally, ayum and nara, the things that are being said here. We don't need to do that. And it's true that it won't have the credibility that is garnered by your taking the shua despite having heard it. That isn't necessary. Nonetheless, it is necessary to put some kind of sense of awe into the shua beyond just the fact that it's a shua. And therefore, we do require nikita statements. It's possible to say that, it's just not obvious yet.
Broadest of the chiddush to begin with, that it's not about refraining from a shua sheker, but giving the amanus to the shua, was the fact that that if you didn't have nikita mm-hmm. statements, you would have to go back and
correct
the chazar. The Rambam here, again, in that halakha I just referenced before, mm-hmm. seems to say that you should try to convince him not to take a shua b'chal. No.
Oh, so actually, that's what I meant to point out. Correct. Is that I think in this way we could say maybe that is the distinction between the sort of the off the books divrei hafsara. It's not off the books. I'm mm-hmm. telling you that we do it, but it's not officially in the Gemara. Right, that Tzuchan Adon lives over Valedinin Ula Yachzeru Behenach Lutiyasham Shvukal. That Hafzara Valedinim is distinct from the Divrayum. Divrayum's function is providing amanus. There is also the concern for the potential for there to be a Shvus Sheker. That applies wherever there's a Shua. Right, but that din, the din that relates to that, is not the divrei yumim. That's for providing nemanus. The din that relates to that is the kind of unofficial haftzara b'vali din mulai aserbet. That actually, I think, works well with that. In other words, then we make a clear distinction between the function of the official divrei yum, which is simply to provide nemanus, and where not such great nemanus is required, we wouldn't need it. And the concern for the possibility of shvua sheker, which we always have anytime there's a shvua, and that would result in the, you know, that even though we don't do the divrei yumim, official divrei yumim, but nonetheless mafsirim bo, so that we can prevent the shvua. I agree. I think that's it makes it easier to explain. You know, we have this sort of middle position here where we on the one hand say you don't need the yumim, on the other hand we're mafsirim bo. So on this on the other perspective, we would be saying that, you know, there's, you know, the grounds to suspect that requires us to really be concerned, and therefore we'll do the divrei yumim, versus just sort of the, is always the possibility, and therefore we'll say the, we'll be maftir bo, just, you know, even though we don't need to say the yumim, but we're still going to be maftir bo, sort of different levels of concern. Here, what we're saying is two different issues. One is providing nemanus, the other is concern for shvua sheker. Divrei yumim is for the provision of nemanus, to give it credibility. That you don't need here. There is a possibility, though, shvua sheker, that entire, you know, the that concern, the way that concern is dealt with is by the haftarah of shema yasur bo v'lo yishav v'kal. Okay? Right. That's akan in terms of just the din that we are omrim lo divrei yum. Now I want to talk about the actual content of the yum, the chumrah of shvua sheker. So the Gemara, as I said, the Gemara here says things about shvua sheker that are quite frightening, to put it mildly. These are things which have impact upon a person, not just the person, but the person's family, not just the person's family, but the whole world. And in some sense, it's more chamor than every avera which potentially a person's family becomes caught up with if they are in a position to, you know, to seriously do something about it, and they don't. Here, somehow it's more chumri. It's the same level din, or it's even situations where you would get a pass if you were talking about a regular avera. Here you won't. One or the other, the piron, as the Gemara's term, right? The piron, the sort of the recompense that the Baruch Shalom exacts for shvua sheker, is quite severe. This brings us to the more general point that we're familiar with before, though, which is just the chumra of shvua sheker. So first, just want to outline the expressions of this notion that shvua sheker and shvua shav are chumra. We first, right, no, it's just the idea that it deviates from the norm in terms of the chumra sadavar. It deviates from what we would otherwise expect. So first, we're really familiar, basically, essentially, with two expressions of this notion. Number one is the one that we've seen inside the Gemara and Tumura, and also quoted Gemara and Shavuos here earlier on, that as far as the Onish Basin is concerned, it sort of punches above its weight, Shavuos Sheker. Right? The Onish Basin of such a lav, such an avera, would be, normally would be, we would think it should be, what? Nothing. Right. Why? Because it's a lav she'en b'maisa. Ki masvasa lav y'maisa. And therefore, when I take a shvua that I did something and I didn't, so I haven't committed a legal act, I haven't perpetrated a legal act to the extent that it would be necessary to become chayav b'malchus. So therefore, you should be puter. Nonetheless, because of its chumrah, says the Gemara Tumura, we darshan this kilo yinakeh, right? That because of its chumrah, you're going to be loked despite the fact that it's in b'maisa. So that's number one, that it receives malchus is itself a deviation from the norm. It otherwise shouldn't, but because of its chumrah, it does. That's the first expression. Then we find another one, which is with respect to another expression of its chumrah, with respect to the din of the kapara, of kaparas, of what's necessary for kapara. It turns out that as far as this is concerned, the kapara is concerned, it exceeds the chumrah of the shvua sheker and shvua shav. Manifests itself in a way that exceeds the requirements for chayvei malchus. In other words, it's not just that you get malchus. It turns out that at least with regard to kapara, it's actually more chumer than your average malchus. It's not just that it shouldn't get malchus, but it does. It places it among the chayvei malchus. It's actually more chumer than chayvei malchus with respect to kapara. The background for this is the distinction between kalos and chamuros with respect to dini kapara. This comes up in two contexts. One, which is clear in the Gemara, and the other, which really isn't, but nonetheless is advanced by the Rambam. Again, I'm just talking about the general background regarding Kalos v'Chamuros, the Gabbai Kapara. So, the first place where this comes up, the distinction, is with respect to what the Gemara says in Yuma, right? What's necessary, alongside Tshuva, what is necessary for a person to do to achieve Kapara? Or what is necessary for a person to achieve Kapara besides for Tshuva? So, here, what we paskin, and what I mean, everybody except for the Sefer Eshkol, paskin, like he understood the Mishnah to be saying, the Mishnah and the Brisa there are cholik. The Mishnah and Yoma and Pehebezin and Brisa on Pehebav Manav, Stam, it seems like they're cholik, or at least it's a reinterpretation. Either way, most of Shonen take what the Gemara says is in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, I believe, the Dalach of Chalukei Kapara. Whether or not it conflicts with the Mishnah, it seems to, but whether or not it conflicts with the Mishnah, that's how they paskin, as opposed to, this is say for the Eshkol, who doesn't. He didn't think we paskin these thoughts with Kapara, but as I say, if we rub Rishonim, what emerges is, what the Gemara says there, which is that we have a distinction between Kalos and Muros with respect to Dalas and Kapara as follows. Kalos refer to the first two levels of the Dalas and Kapara. First is Chayve Asay, right? Bidl Mitzvah Asay. Which, where what we say is tshuva alone is sufficient, immediately. Tshuva alone is all that's necessary. As soon as one does the proper tshuva, so on the spot, in Uzaz Misham, you have kapara. That's what Bidla say. Then you have the second level of kalos, which is stam lab. Lab in which, including those which are chayim and aleim malchus, where what we say is that tshuva alone isn't sufficient insofar as the kapara, as the immediate kapara is concerned, doesn't bring with it kapara immediately. What it does is its tola kind of is necessary, but it isn't sufficient. It's tola atriyavo yom kippurim, and tshuva v'yom kippurim or mechapim for stam machios. Okay? Those two are the kalos. Then we have the chamuros. The chamuros refers to also to two levels in the Gemara there, right? Those first two were the kalos, the second two are the chamuros. On the third level, which is the first of the chamuros, is chayvei krisus and mizud beis. Chayvei mizud yishmai, set aside. The Gemara doesn't explicitly discuss it, but the Gemara does discuss chayvei krisus and mizud beis. So these, the Gemara says, even with tshuva v'yom kippur, you don't receive kapara yet until what? Yisurim markam. Yisurim lamark ha'averus. You need to have yisurim come upon him, he suffers somewhat, and then he'll have kapara. That's the chayvei krisus mizud beis. And then finally you have the fourth, which is what the Gemara says, avon chilul Hashem. The aver of chilul Hashem is even more chomer, even with Yisur Nabayim Aleim, that's not sufficient. You need tshuva, presumably Yom Kippur, although, come back to the Michasina thought that these latter levels don't require Yom Kippur anymore. It's not obvious from, it's pretty good from the Rambam, I didn't think that was true, but the Michasina thought that was the case. But, so you need tshuva, the Yom Kippur, let's say, Yisurim, and even then there's no kapara yet until Misa. So that's where you have the Da'at HaLuk to kapara. The other place where we find this distinction between Kalos and Chamuros, the Tzedakah Kapara, is specific to the Rambam. Rambam had a major chiddush. He held that there's a din, and in particular, with respect to the possibility of Kapara B'li Tshuva. Right, this notion of Kapara B'li Tshuva is familiar to us from Shita's Rebbe. Rebbe held the Yom Kippur and Mechaper not only for Ein Shavim, but even for Shavim. Imagine how powerful the, you know, the Koach of the Yitzum Shal Yom is that Rebbe held that even without tshuva is mechaper. Tosos already kind of tempers that a little bit. There's no kapara gemura. It seems it would be hard to imagine that it's literally like there's no avera. Just as long as Yom Kippur comes, Tosos points out that if so, our b'nai's are always punished. I think Yom Kippur came. There are reasons you can answer that. Even Rebbe has exceptions. There are potential answers to that. Even Rebbe has exceptions. Very rare exceptions, but even for Rebbe there are exceptions. Nonetheless, this shita that Yom Kippur isn't, that there's a kapara b'li tshuva, and that Yom Kippur is mechaper l'Ein Shavim, that's generally, the notion is generally associated with Rebbe regarding Yom Kippur. The Rambam is mechadesh that even the Rabbanan, there is such a notion of kapara b'li tshuva. It isn't something which comes along with Yom Kippur per se, but rather specifically with, what? The Siyar HaMishalech. Siyar HaMishalech, says the Rambam, that is mechaper even b'li tshuva, even the Rabbanan. The Gemara, the Rishonim that from the Gemara, get to the complex Gemaras, the Gemara in Shavuos, Rambam seems to need to deal with, because the Gemara seems to link the Seir, the din of the Seir, Kaparas Seir, B'li Tshuva with Rebbe, and somehow view those as being overlapping or the same, maybe modifying Rebbe, but Lefi Rabbanan, there's no such thing. The Rambam understood that Lefir Abanan, there is such a thing. Seir Meshach, Yom Kippur isn't Mechaper Lein Shavim, but Seir Shemeach is, and yet, says the Rambam, that's only true for Kalos. The Rambam, when we say L'Rabbanan, that Seir Meshalech Mechaper Lein Shavim, that's Dafka L'Kalos, as far as Chamuros are concerned, you would need more than just the Seir, you would need Tshuva, and presumably Yisurim as well. Now, one question that everybody asks about that, again, it's not our topic, but where did the Rambam get that from, that he may have understood the Mishnah and the Brisa regarding Siyar Meshalech differently, that it's only Mechaper, that it's Mechaper Lein Shavim, even Shelo Lefi Rebbe, although it's not so clear how, but where did he get that, given that we are Mechalik between Kalos and Chamurus? Meaning Rebbe was not Mechalik. Rebbe, well, the Kippur is Mechaper Lein Shavim, doesn't say anything about Chamurus. He has exceptions, but it's not the Chamurus is a call. It's probable the Rambam got that from Yisham and Shulas, where there is such a chiluk, although not applied in the way that Allah is true in terms of what defines Kalos, but setting that aside, it does seem like Rambam held looked at the Saudi Rishami and thought this was what the murder permit. Setting that aside, that's what it is in the Rambam that we have such a notion of Kalos and Chamurus with respect to B'li Tshuva, Siyar Meshalech, Mechaper Le Kalos is not Mechaper Le Chamurus. So what the Gemara Yoma says is, and that's just as far as background is coming back to our topic. So the Gemara in Yoma says is that Shvua Sheker V'Shav, so even though there's a lav and it gets Malkus, so that's, you know, that's already an exception, but that makes it like a regular lav, it nonetheless, it's an exception to the rule that Chamuros are me, right, me Chavi Krisus, who means the Bezim Mala, Losisa is also Bechlav. Losisa, despite being only a lav and its owner's Bezim only being Malkus, right, nonetheless, is kichamuros lagabe di zini kapara. To be clear, just mention this, the truth of the matter is, the Rama only says it regarding the din of Siyar HaMishalech, right, that losisa is nichlal with chamuros lagabe Siyar HaMishalech, and that it is not something, even if you have a Siyar HaMishalech, you require tshuva, right, like the chamuros opposed to the kalos, or don't require tshuva, losisa is among the chamuros with regard to this. He doesn't actually mention Losisa in the context of the Da'at HaLuk B'Kapara. When he says Da'at HaLuk B'Kapara, he doesn't say Chavi Krisus Mesis Beis Din plus Losisa. And the Michasinah actually thought, he seemed to have, the Michasinah happens to have a lot of interesting sort of novel readings. I just noticed in this is the mitzvah Shin Samachalad, Agave, you know, the Valachulik Para, it's reading in is astonishing. Things you think are Dvaram Shutim, he thought the opposite of Dvaram Shutim. And then he came back to starting to discuss it again. So this is one of those things where there are things, well, one of them I already mentioned, he thought that Yom Kippur for the other things isn't required. Tshuva of Yom Kippur is required only for the second level of Chalukah Kapara. The third and fourth, Isurim and Misa, that's without Yom Kippur. He just thought that seems obvious. This is another one where he thinks that the Rambam, he just thinks it's double pashut. The Losisa is considered Chomor Legabe, the Siyar Meshaleach for the Rambam, maybe not Legabe, Dalash Chalukah Kapara. In other words, in that it requires Tshuva, it's considered Chomor. Despite the Siyar Meshaleach, in that it requires Tshuva, that's Kechamoros, but with Tshuva, what it needs besides Tshuva, says the Mechasinah, he thought that maybe it was regular, just regular. I think he himself comes back on that, returns to that and questions it. I don't think it's viable in the Rambam. I think even though the Rambam doesn't say explicitly, this is what we were meant to understand, which is that Lo Sisa, it's like both of these contexts of Kapara for the Rambam, the Chilukim King, Kals Furos, Lo Sisa is among the Chumuros. Note, though, that neither the Rambam nor the Gemara say where exactly within the Dal Chilukim Kapara, within the Chumuros, Lo Sisa fits. It doesn't tell us whether it's equivalent to the third tier of Chilukim Kapara, Chayav Krisus Misa Bezin, or the fourth tier of Avon Chilul Hashem. Now, Misvar, you might say that it seems obvious that what? What would you guys think about that? Where does it belong?
Doesn't the Lashon say, like, Tosisa Lamala, Tosisa Lamata?
Okay.
That seems like in the middle.
It sounds like it's after the third.
But then the third, either before or, you know, including the third.
Okay, that's a good point. That's a good point.
The third level wouldn't be included.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm not sure if it's dispositive for two reasons. One is...
Is that true?
This is really dispositive. Meaning that it's conclusive. It's arriving in Lachuk. Because if you actually look at the Gemara, and this is, again, we're not dealing with this topic, but it's a tricky Gemara, and this is Mikhafina's point, the Gemara doesn't actually, I mean, the Gemara brings up, I forgot who it was that asked a question from Santana, but the Dal Shamati that they say, the Dal Kikabara, the Gemara brings up Lusisa before that. Gemara brings up Losisa when it's just dealing with what it seems like in the Mishnah, that there's a distinction between Kals and Chamorus, but not Dal Kikabara, another scheme. And the Mishnah in that context, Gemara says, Losisa is among the Kalos here. I'm sorry, it's among the Chamorus here. But if you actually look at what the Mishnah thinks is what the Gemara is saying, Chamorus and Chamorus were Lavin, Kalos were Ases. And the Mishnah there mentions, this is where the emphasis is coming from. The Mishnah there mentions, this is before we got to the Dalat of the Gepara, the Mishnah there mentions that Losisa is considered to be Chamor, one of the Chamoros. Despite its lack of Malkus, that's really the way it comes up in the Gemara, is that even though it's says, the Mishnah there it said, Yisav Yom Kippur Mechavim Machuva, Chuva Mechaperes Alveres Kalos, Al Asay, Valos Asay, Val Chamuros, Utola, Chiava Yom Kippurim Vichaber. So you already see it's not quite the same Dalat from Kippur, there's only two Chalukos, and there's nothing but the worst of it have Chuva Vyom Kippur.
Yes.
Right? There's no Yisurim, no Misa. So the Gemara there asks, why do you have to say that? And Gemara answers, Gemara views it, Hakikamar, Al Asei Val Losasei Shinita Kasei. Those are the kalos that are being referred to here. It's not so clear exactly why that would answer the question, but that's what Gemara is saying. Meaning, even Asei, meaning basically what we're saying is that Aseis are actually not even mentioned in the Mishnah. They're not even kalos. Kalos here refers to Aseis, meaning Lav Nita Kasei. Meaning Lav and they don't require Malkus, don't get Malkus. So then he says, but Losa is not Gomor, though, meaning Losa said Gomor would be considered among the Chamuros, that's what Gemara is saying. Veraminu, Elu ain't Kalos, Asev Losase, Chutz mi Losisa, Losisa v'chol didamilo. So, in other words, the at this point in the Gemara, what we're dealing with is a Mishnah which tells us that Kalos, the Chamuros, and the Gemara had wanted this, the Kalos and Chamuros, there's just one distinction between Kalos and Chamuros. In terms of what is required besides Tshuva, Kalos doesn't require Yom Kippur, and Chamuros does, and the Gemara says, basically that the kalos referred to here are referring to even lavin she'in behem makos. Sorry, specifically, I'm sorry, it's referring to lavin she'in behem makos, to the exclusion of lavin she'yesh behem makos, which are, on this view, kichamuros. Right, that shuvah of Yom Kippurim would be mechaper. Now, the scheme that was in, that was gotten here from the mission was, again, kalos, whatever they are things that don't that shuvah shuvah is mechaperes alone. I'm sorry. Yeah, and shuvah mechaperes alaveres kalos, right? And chamuros require Yom Kippur. That's the scheme that was inherited here. Those are only two categories, and that's the what happens to them. So, in that context, the Gemara says that these kalos refer to that basically chamuros include lavin, stam lavin, sheish ben makos. That was the assumption of the Gemara. That was the position that Gemara was addressing. And the Gemara says that isn't so because lav of losisa is considered chamuros as an exception. So that lav, right, lav of losisa, which is a lav shachayim lav makos, is an exception in that it's considered one of the chamuros here, meaning in the way that it's being plugged into the Gemara, Yom Kippur, it requires Yom Kippur, right? Chamura, the kalos, include all the regular lavin of chayv and olei makos. In the end, when the Gemara abandons this scheme in favor of what it cited in the brisa of the Da'at Hol Kippara, right? And it has its kalos of chamuros. So the assumption that I think everybody with Mechasin has is we're just to understand that losisa, though, is included among chamuros the same way that it was before. It's above, it punches above its weight. It's not just included among the Chayve, Lav, and Sheikh Ramakos. It's actually more like Chayve Krisos and Mizbezin for its purpose. But the point is that line that you're telling me about, Koshul Milosiso Lamata versus Chuba Mechaber, Milosiso Lamala Chuba Tola, Yom Kippur Mechaper, that was all said prior to this scheme. In other words, that was said regarding when we were just being distinguishing, there was no four, there was only two. So you might very well say that it's losisa v'lamala because that's all in the same category. Now, your gig is good if we're talking about among four categories, and we say that losisa v'lamala is the difference between two and three. But if we're talking about only two categories, I think the gig is less good, is less mukrach, because among the two categories it makes no difference where there's, right, you can't even die that it doesn't, that it's specifically the lower end, it just, I'm not sure you can, or at least I don't think it's as mufrach a diyuk. The point is that, you know, all the other averos besides losisa, those are obviously more chamor in the sense of onche bezin, and those are being included in that fourth category. There's no need to distinguish and say, there's no need to say that you see, though, that in terms of this category where it finds itself in terms of the kapara within this category, it's lower. There was no lower and higher when the Gemara introduced the distinction, right? When the Gemara introduced the chumra of losisa, it was only considered to be two categories at that point. Follow what I'm saying? Just the diuk isn't, I don't think, is quite as mukrach when we're dealing with only two categories, and the Gemara seems to just say that anything falls, you all fall into that fourth category if you're more chamor in the sense of onche bezin. Once you say that there's da'at al kapara, and you say that it's milosisa v'lamala, then I think already we're supposed to understand from this that in the fourth you would probably want to tell. So I accept the diuk, I'm just saying I don't know if it's mukrach. Okay, give me a couple more minutes. Yeah, so I think that if we're just to ask, though, just stam, what's the, you know, where does it belong? I would say it would belong in the fourth. At least that's what I thought you guys would say. All right, let's pause here. Can we reconvene afterwards? Is that possible?
Yeah. You guys look a little...
Yeah.